this opportunity to give a hearty welcome to everyone. We're so glad you're here. If you look back in the back of the room, or actually the front of the room, you'll see a big sheet of plywood. Right now there is a schedule tucked up way up in the corner. One of the things that we are required, I mentioned it last night, and we will have this posted over there on the piece of plywood, but the kids need to stay out of the creek unless there is an adult watching, okay? So if it gets hot and you want to go in the creek, you just need to get an adult.
Oh. Is there a difference between being born again and being saved? Well, that's the question at hand tonight, and hopefully with the Lord's help, we'll define that and answer it. And the question, or the answer rather, is yes, there is a difference. In fact, there's a big difference. So if I was to say this to you, that every Christian is born again, but every born-again person isn't a Christian necessarily, does that surprise you? Well, that is the case.
It's nice, like I said before, it's really nice to be here and to see many of you and your parents making the sacrifice to bring you here. I know for us it's the highlight of summer to bring our kids here because they count in the days to be here. And it's so nice to be here with our brothers and sisters in Christ. No matter the place, I like to confess something. I really don't like camping. Really, I mean, I tell my wife, I live in Mexico for 20 plus years. And I tell my wife, I camp every single day of my life over there. Now you, when I'm here in a nice house with my bed, you want me to bring to camp. I mean, it's like, come on. But I do it gladly because it's nice to, really nice to be here. You know, I don't know, when I was living in Mexico, I never owned a bed until I was married with my wife. Until I was married, I bought my first bed. I always sleep in the floor or in couches and stuff like that. But so it's the reason I say camping again. But, you know, it's just like some people say, heaven will be heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ will go to be there. And camping here, no matter the place, is so nice because my brothers and sisters in Christ, young people, kids who are here, it's so nice to be here. It's so nice to hear the meetings. It's so nice to open the Bible and hear about our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh,
Well, for those who aren't here, we've made some comments on this chapter at length about how the chapter in its context really brings before us the outflow of Christ in the life of us as Christians. And various comments have been made regarding how that is done and how that is not done, what might hinder that outflow, and we noticed a few things in the earlier part of this chapter, which I won't backtrack and summarize necessarily. I'll leave it for your personal study, but the Apostle Paul touches on various things that could hinder that outflow and quench it, you might say. And so, you know, as we move about in this life as servants of Christ, it is our responsibility to be a living epistle before this world. They read Christ in you and me, or at least they should. And if we allow things into our life that will, you know, hinder that, then the world is not going to see a manifestation of Christ. And it's quite solemn as I consider this, because the only Bible that this world reads, brethren, is in you and me. As believers, we pick up this book, we hear the Word of God, we read the Word of God, we enjoy it, we take it in, we have the capacity to understand it and assimilate it to our own good by the power of the Spirit of God indwelling us. But this world doesn't have that. Well, you can't expect a dead man to pick up the Word of God and read it. They have no interest in it. So how else are they going to see Christ? Well, it's through you and me. And this chapter, again, brings that out, and hopefully that's a good enough summary.
Sorry.
Just to make it a matter of prayer, and I would like to spend a moment to pray. The dishwasher is broken. At the beginning of the meeting, you probably heard some strange sounds coming out of the kitchen. The dishwasher is broken, and we desperately need that dishwasher. So right now, we're going to be using paper goods, paper cups and plates, so nobody use the plastic cups anymore until we get that dishwasher fixed. So while we're all gathered here, let's just take a moment to pray about this so that we can see the power of God. At the end of the reading meeting this morning, we prayed about the dishwasher. And within an hour of us praying about the dishwasher, it was working again. That's an answer to prayer. And I think we should all rejoice in that. I think we need to continue praying for that dishwasher because it's going to need some more prayer to get through the week. But that's all right, because we have a never-failing resource.
It says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day. And you know what he commanded those ones to do there for that work? He gave them jobs. And they all had things to do. They all had things to do. But those jobs were all in service to him. And so I know that we don't have the Sabbath day today. We have the Lord's day. And I know it's not at the end. It's the first day. What do we do the other six is what I'm curious to find out. I know what I used to do. And I'd be ashamed to tell you tonight what I did the other 6 days of my life. And then I'd show up to meeting, and I'd sit there, and I'd take the emblems, and I'd thank them for saving me and washing my sins away. And then I'd go home, and the NASCAR race would be on, and I'd sit down, and I'd watch the NASCAR race for 5 hours. Did I serve them well? Was my heart willing? No, I served myself. Served myself.
We can't have any kids down playing in the creek without being watched by an adult. Where's Danny? Hey, Danny. So if you're having any questions about whether that applies to you, it applies to you, okay? So if there's any doubt in your mind, make sure that you have an adult with you.
Turn your eyes upon me. I cannot give it up, the little world I know, the innocent delights of youth, the things I cherish so. 'Tis true, I love my Lord and long to do His will, but oh, I may enjoy the world and be a Christian still. I love the hour of prayer. I love the hymns of praise. I love the blessed word which tells of God's redeeming grace. But I am human still. And while I dwell on earth, God surely will not grudge the hours I spend in harmless mirth. These things belong to youth and are its natural right. My dress, my pastimes, and my friends, the merry and the bright. My Father's heart is kind. He will not count it ill that my small corner of the world should please and hold me still. And yet, outside the camp, 'twas there my Savior died. It was a world that cast Him forth and saw Him crucified. Can I take part with those who nailed Him to the tree? And where His name is never praised, is that the place for me? Nay, world, I turn away. Though thou seem fair and good, that friendly outstretched hand of thine is stained with Jesus' blood. If in thy least device I stoop to take a part, all unawares, thy influence steals God's presence from my heart. I miss my Savior's smile. Whene'er I walk thy ways, thy laughter drowns the Spirit's voice and chokes the springs of praise. Whene'er I turn aside to join thee for an hour, the face of Christ, dear Christian, listen to this. The face of Christ grows blurred and dim, and prayer has lost its power. You ever found yourself in a similar state? You get on your face before the Lord, you have a need, and it feels like you're speaking to the pillow cushion. In words of another scripture, it's like the brass, and the heavens are brass, nothing but judgment there. You ever felt that? I have. What's the answer? Farewell. It's judgment, self-judgment, getting on with the path of faith. Farewell. Henceforth my place is with the Lamb who died, my Sovereign. While I have thy love, what can I want beside? Thyself, blessed Lord, art now my free and loving choice, in whom, though now I see thee not, believing I rejoice. Shame on me that I sought another joy than this, or dreamed a heart at rest with thee could crave for earthly bliss. These vain and worthless things, I put them all aside. His goodness fills my longing soul, and I am satisfied. Lord Jesus, let me dwell outside the camp with thee. Since thou art there, then there alone is peace and rest for me. Thy dear reproach to bear, I'll count my highest gain, till thou return, rejected one, to take thy power and reign.
Thank you.
the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of Jehovah, but I hate him." No question here where Ahab stands. And it's that way with the evil man. From the moment you meet him to the moment he goes his way, there is no question where he stands with regard to the things of God. It's not so with the strange woman. She has a religious upbringing. She's very difficult to discern. Her paths are movable that thou canst not know them. And she knows how to do things in a way that look right, that look scriptural, very deceitful, and very effective.
just to recap what we had in chapter 4, we spoke about how it brought before us the outflow of Christ in the life of the believer and the various exercises that we ought to have that would help us help that outflow shine out brighter and brighter. There were various things that could hinder that light from shining, if you will, and which were touched upon in chapter 4. And so various exercises were brought forward there that we ought to have so as not to prevent that light from shining through us. Now in chapter 5 here we have various things that motivate us in our service for Christ. And it's been pointed out that there are three main ones, you might say, in this chapter. The first one we considered at the front end of this chapter was the coming of Christ in terms of the rapture to bring us, to bring the church home to glory with himself. And so we have the rapture put before us where certainly we, as when we live and we go forward in our ministry for Christ, that certainly is a motivating factor, is it not? As we look on to that moment when we'll be caught up to be with the Lord himself. The other one was the judgment seat of Christ, that the in terms of the believer, that's where faithful service will be rewarded. And then at the end of the chapter, we have the love of Christ, certainly something that motivates us as we consider that it is really the greatest motivation going. God was motivated to send his son out of love for you and me. The Lord Jesus was motivated to die for us out of love for our never-dying souls. And in turn, we ought to be motivated out of love for all that he's done for us to give up our lives for his cause. So that's just a little bit of an outline. We'll fill it in, Lord willing, as we move along, but hopefully that helps set things up.
Every way afflicted, but not straightened, seeing no apparent issue, but our way not entirely shut up. I want to read the footnote on that verse. Our way not entirely shut up, persecuted, but not abandoned, cast down, but not destroyed. In the King James, it says, we are perplexed, but not in despair or not altogether without help or means. So I'm sure a few, if not most of you, have already heard. We got some news this afternoon from the camp director here that they had double booked Friday night and Saturday. And so as a result, we need to be leaving here on Friday afternoon. And that's the way it is. And so I think it's really pretty fitting that we have had this before us, perplexed, but not altogether without help or means. And it was interesting to me that when Tom, the director, came, as you can imagine, he was rather apprehensive about delivering such news, and he said, "I was expecting to get yelled at." And we've had a testimony as a collective group. And Landon said, "That's not the way these people operate." And I thought that was really interesting. And they're watching. So I don't know exactly what we'll do other than that we are going to leave on Friday afternoon. We need to be out of here by 3 p.m. The Lord has allowed this, and we need to bow to Him. We don't know sometimes why He allows what He allows in our lives. But we know that all things work together for good to them who are called. And so we leave it to His hand to guide us and lead us.
It's not always easy to try to be a help to someone next to you. It's not always easy to say you're missing the mark, or vice versa, them to say to you, you're missing the mark. But if you're faithful, if you truly love the person, your desire is for them to go on, and it will save both of you from tremendous heartache. As you go away from here, a weekend filled with joy, good food, all of this was put on with the simple desire that each one here would go on for the Lord. And I would like to share in that desire.
We want to give you guys all a hearty thanks for coming and being here with us. I know I speak for Tim and Matt as well. The joy of the fellowship that we've had would not be possible if it was not the fact that our brethren came and helped us and worked alongside of us. So we want to thank you for coming and sharing this time with us.